Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bourke from Quito, and today we're speaking with Adelante Capital Management, a global investment management firm with $1.9 billion of assets under management. I'm joined by Michael Torres, CEO, as well as portfolio manager, Jung Hyun. Welcome to you both.
Great. Good morning.
Morning.
So, Michael, let me start by asking you, how do REIT fundamentals look to you at this point in the cycle?
Yes, Sarah, good morning. We're constantly identifying positives and negatives as we look at REIT fundamentals. Kind of our thoughts on the right hand on the positive side is that we're entering the year with very attractive dividend yields. The company is having access to capital. And as you pointed out, NAREIT has pointed out that the industry is record low leverage. So we're at a really good point from a positive side there as far as the companies are concerned. From a negative side, we've seen that actually the private markets have a lower cost of capital, and they're outbidding a number of the companies. Clearly, in the last 100 days, we've seen greater uncertainty around global growth, and that the investment characteristics of REITs continue to be misunderstood. And so we're weighing those kind of positive and negatives constantly as we look at the fundamentals as we are late in a real estate cycle.
And Jung, given Adelante's particular focus on underlying net asset value, or NAV, what are your thoughts on how long REITs might continue to trade at a discount to NAV in the public market?
As you point out, we do use NAV as our primary metric, and we've been value investors using that metric as our fundamental tool of analysis for the past 20 years. All that being said, I think investors have to use judgment in applying NAV, especially when there are cyclical or secular changes afoot. A good example is the BMall REITs, who have consistently traded at the largest discounts of NAV and yet have delivered the worst returns for the past 2 years. So I think that's probably a long way of saying I think some REITs or some property types will trade at discounts to NAV for the foreseeable future.
And another question, Jung, what is your perspective on the potential for M&A in the sector as we look forward into 2019?
Two types of M&A. I think for public to public, not as likely because investors aren't making enough of a distinction between companies and management teams to whom they want to grant the cost of capital advantage. So last year was unusual in that Pebblebrook, for example, was an acquirer because they were trading at a premium and they had a cost of capital to do an acquisition. I think public to private, you'll continue to see activity as long as there are attractive commercial real estate portfolios that are trading at a discount in the public markets and clients continue to shower private equity with money. If I can make one bold prediction, I think you'll see a very large privatization in the near to intermediate future a la equity office.
Okay. And Michael, turning to you, I wanted to ask you about how the real estate benchmark is evolving with some of these newer non-core property types like data centers making up a larger part of the market now.
Sure. You know, as we all know, that the modern REIT era that began back in the mid-90s provided families and developers and local sharpshooters access to capital. And in the last decade, since the global financial crisis, we've seen the capital markets have been very comfortable with and embraced the REIT structure, and the capital has now really sought unique property types. As we look at the REIT universe from an equity standpoint, there are 13 property sectors. It's our expectation that we may actually see another 3 to 5 emerge over the next decade. We're so excited about it as we have been thinking about it back in the fall of 2017. We built on our experience really around indexes and introduced two new indexes, the Adelante Core Property Index, which really focuses on the traditional core property types, as well as the Next Gen Index that looks at data centers, towers, and some of the longstanding specialty areas like healthcare and storage. you know, the property types outside of what is considered core really has been the engine since it was the last decade of REIT performance, and we'd expect that it would continue to contribute.
Now, Michael, we've seen a lot of market volatility over the last few months. What is your perspective on the role of active portfolio management?
Sure. Real estate is a portfolio diversifier, and many private funds and partnerships are just beta to investors. And as the REIT market has reached $1 trillion in market cap, we think that it's pretty clear that property beta can be accessed cheaply through the passive indexes or ETFs. We think that active management plays a really important role in portfolios where we and our clients share investment horizons, which are typically longer, and use the liquidity of the public markets to manage the downside risk. As Jung had highlighted around the questions of NAV, we really take a private equity approach to thinking about investing in our companies and use the daily pricing to manage risk in our portfolio, active management.
And Jung, back to you. I wanted to ask whether domestically you're seeing any change in investor sentiment at the moment.
Not really. I think for the dedicated reinvestors, it's just blocking and tackling for us. And getting the message out to our existing and prospective clients that 12%+ returns for the past 10 years since the financial crisis, and you know, putting in a plug for active managers, I think many of the active managers have outperformed during this time period, and that's a good thing. I think, unfortunately, the generalist investor is probably the marginal buyer of REIT securities currently. So maybe the flattening of the yield curve will draw attention back to the asset class again and draw in that marginal buyer. And I think it's just literally getting the message out to our end users that we have delivered very good absolute returns and the active managers have outperformed. And I think the outperformance will actually pick up as we see more volatility going into 2019 and 20.
Great. Now, Michael, how would you describe real estate valuations globally? And I'm wondering if you're seeing any pockets of opportunity.
Sure. You know, when you look at property markets around the globe, it's not quite as easy as the equity markets, where the distinction is drawn between valuations in the developed markets and valuations in emerging markets. You know, we basically, as a global investor, are constructing region-neutral portfolios really focused on the developed markets. Without a question, there's valuation differences across countries as well as within countries. And it's important that our team focuses really on the local market and the opportunity set within the property types, because they're nowhere near as developed as they are here in America. Similarly, we're really focusing on security selection and trying to identify portfolios and management teams that can grow their NAV internally, but also externally through accretive growth or development. The other thing that we have found that's a bit unique is that we are critical of externally advised companies because of the governance conflicts, and I think we've done a good job at America leading the world to earn internalization and alignment of shareholder interests. And so valuation is just one factor. As we look at opportunities, we're really looking for those good companies within their local markets.
And what opportunities is Adelante seeing among Asian investors?
You know, over the last 5 years, the Asian theater certainly had a great deal of capital that has been exported around the world, not only privately in property, but also in publicly. I think one of the things that's certainly happening as the Asian investors mature is one where they're seeing that property in the developed world really is a total return investment, moving away just solely from yield, and that in time they will continue to diversify as they seek to house a greater share of the global GDP. One of the things that's super unique and we find very attractive about the global property market is that 21 of the 25 largest cities that comprise 80% of global GDP are investable through the REIT market. And I think that will attract the Asian investor as they think about continuing to diversify their portfolios and that wealth that we're talking about.
Okay, great. Well, Michael, John, thank you both very much for spending time with the REIT Report today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, be sure to visit REIT.com for previous episodes of the REIT Report.